Good morning. Good to see you. It's good to be together. I want to begin by saying thank you to Patrick and Vance for filling in for me while we were out of town. We enjoyed our time away, but we're so happy to be back this morning with you and to be here and to be a part of this worship this morning. This morning, I want to spend a little time talking about something that John brings up in 1 John chapter 4. And as I was thinking about this lesson and about what we were going to discuss, I was drawn back to my childhood. Now, as a child, we loved to go camping, and we did real camping, where you're out in a tent on the ground, and you'd spend all night, and it was exciting, and it was fun, and had so many great memories that we as a family, even as an extended family, shared together going fishing or just being out in the woods. Most of the things we did were great. But as a child, I had a very active imagination. So one of the games I had to play is when we were all getting in the tent and everything was coming to a close, it was a race to beat everybody else to sleep. Because if I was the last one awake and I started hearing the noises that were surrounding me, I would hear things that probably weren't there. And you start thinking about all the creatures that may be approaching you in the night. And so I remember at times being very afraid of what was just outside and so excited when I finally did wake up and the sun was back up and everything was all right. And then you could go on and you enjoy the rest of your day. But for that little bit of time before you fell asleep, there was some anxiety, some fear. You know, we've all had moments when we've been afraid. And sometimes it's been like a child, you know, and you're afraid of maybe what's under the bed or in the closet, what's out there in the dark. But then there are some things in life that really are worth being afraid about, right? There are some real fears in our life. And so here in this passage in 1 John chapter 4, I want to note what John is saying to us when it comes to fear. We begin there at verse 16. He says, "And we have known and believed that believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So, John tells us that perfect love or perfected love cast out fear. Now, I want to begin by asking the question here is, what do you fear? What is it that you are afraid of? You know, John says that perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. I want to think about what it's like to be afraid. When you've been really afraid, and there's been some real reasons behind it, that is torment, isn't it? To be afraid. To be afraid of what's going on with your body. Whether it's cancer or some other significant disease or something going on with you that you can't help. You can't do anything about it. And you pray and hope that the doctors and the nurses and all those who are attending to your needs can help you. There's some fear there, right? What about losing your job? You ever been afraid that you could lose your job any day? Maybe they're laying off, or the company's reducing its employees, or maybe it's something you've done. And you've been in real fear of losing your job. And that leads into another fear we have sometimes. Some real fear is about having enough money to pay the bills. You lose that job and you begin to wonder, well, how am I going to pay my bills? You've been out of work for a little bit of time. You understand that, know that. There's some fear there. You're not just afraid for yourself. You're afraid for your family. If you're married and have children, you know what that fear is like. And you wonder, when am I going to find a job? Being rejected. You ever been afraid of being rejected by someone? Fear of not doing well on an important project or a test. Teenagers know something about fear of that. If you've been able to attend a college or university and you've got a big final coming up, there's some fear and anxiety there. I want to do well. Maybe you fear being made fun of. You're afraid somebody's going to make fun of your accent or the way you talk or the way you grew up or the way you live your life, and you're afraid of being made fun of. What about this fear? How many of us in here today are fearful about the question, am I saved? You ever afraid that maybe God isn't going to accept you? Even Christians can fear being saved. There can be a real fear there. Maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I didn't do it just right. Maybe I'm lacking some way. And there's so many more things in our lives that can make us fearful. This morning, I want to look at what John is writing here, and I want to look at some other places, and I want to try to help all of us. We all experience it. I'm not saying any of these things are a perfect fix or are going to fix it for us immediately, but God can help to alleviate that fear in our lives. John says that God's perfect love cast out fear. I want to think about that idea that God can help alleviate that fear in our lives. The first way God helps us alleviate fear is by how He has already loved us. And that's in the past tense. This is something God has already done for you and me. In 1 John chapter 4, if we go back there in verse 16, the text tells us, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. What's the foundation of our faith? It is the love of God. And then John goes on even a step further, and he says, God is love. God is the very definition of what it means to be loved. He is love. He defines the term. A lot of different ways people define what love is. But in reality, the greatest definition of love is God. A little bit later in verse 19, he goes on to say, we love Him, God, because He first loved us. Well, what does that mean? You know, there's a text in John's Gospel of Jesus Christ that sometimes we've heard it so much that maybe we don't really spend the time to consider the depth of the meaning. I know all kinds of people in our world can quote this verse because they've just heard it so many times. And when we hear something over and over again, sometimes it begins to lose its meaning. Or it gets lost the real depth and meaning of it can get lost because we just hear it all the time. But I want you to again consider what Jesus himself says in John 3:16. He says, "For God so loved," again that idea of it's already happened. God's already demonstrated or laid out his love. "For God so loved the world that the world," "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You consider what God did for us and for all mankind in sending Jesus Christ. And what an awesome, just an overwhelming idea that is. That is John, or as Paul, says in Romans 5, that he did that while we were yet sinners. Now, while we were enemies, while we've made ourselves enemies of God, yet he still loved us. You think about the people in your life. Who do you do good things for? I bet the majority of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we enjoy helping those we love and those who love us. We enjoy giving to those who reflect that gift back to us in thankfulness. And at times in our lives, those same people may help us. You know, that's Paul's point before that when he says that, you know, scarcely for a righteous man one will die. You may even dare to die for a good man. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies of God. We, at times in our lives, may even have hated God. And yet that didn't stop him from loving us and loving us to the greatest degree. Why does John say God is love? Well, just look at what he's done for us. God is love. God can help alleviate our fears in that, number one, he's going to love us better than anyone else in the world can, even ourselves. We can't even love ourselves the way God loves us. And so when we think about those fears, those things that scare us and make us fearful, don't forget, God loves you, and God wants to take those fears away. He wants to alleviate those things for us. Number two, think about how God can alleviate fears. We also realize, kind of continuing with this thought, is that God helps to do that by providing exactly what we need. You know, we all have people in our lives that we love, and we have people in our lives who are in need, people who are struggling. And it may be a myriad of things in their lives. Maybe they don't have enough money. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe they have a health concern in their life. Maybe they're even at death's door if things don't work out a certain way for them. Maybe it is that they have an addiction problem. Maybe it is they have a spiritual, emotional problem. Maybe they're dealing with depression. And we want to help and we try and... Have you ever felt this way? Somebody's in need and they've come to you and they poured out their heart to you or you've just seen it. And man, you so desperately want to take that away for them, but you can't. And you don't know what to do. You ever been in that desperate situation where you just don't know what to do for a friend, for a brother or sister, for a family member? And you so want to help, but I don't know what to do. That's us as human beings. Most of the time, to help people, it's out of our power. If somebody's got cancer, there's not much I can do for you but pray. I'd love to do more. But it's not in my power. I wish it was. We as human beings We fail sometimes not because we have a lack of desire to help, but it's because we don't really always know the right way to help. But with God, it's not that way. He knows exactly what we need, and He'll provide for us. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said to His disciples, who were men who would know what it meant to fear and to be desperate in their lives, He says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That peace that only God can provide, that which only God can give to us. But too often, we fail to go to God to ask for that, to really rely and lean on Him. You know, in Luke chapter 12, as Luke is recording what Matthew records in Matthew 6, and when Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, and He's talking about fear and anxiety and worry, and you know, we're good at those things. We're good at worrying. We have a real talent for it as human beings. We worry about so many things, and Jesus was reminding His disciples that day that they don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the food that's going to be on your table. Don't worry about the clothing you'll put on. God cares for you, and He'll provide those things to you if we will but trust in Him. You know, and He brings up the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and He says, you know, God cares for those animals, doesn't He? He meets their needs. He makes sure they have what they need. Those lilies of the field, God cares for them and takes care of them. And He goes on to say, don't you understand that you are of so much greater value to God? God doesn't love those lilies. God doesn't even love those birds, not the way He loves you. He doesn't care for them the way He cares about you. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes to the Philippian church, and he says, be anxious for nothing. Wow, that's tough. I mean, who of us can really fulfill that? Well, I'm striving toward it, right? I don't want to be anxious. But notice what Paul goes on to say. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying to the Philippians? You've got to give those things to God. You've got to invite Him in to help you bear those things. Now, it's not going to just erase immediately the things going on in our lives. But the greater trust we can have in God, the greater reliance we have on Him to care for those things that we cannot take care of, the more at peace we'll become. Most of our anxiety comes from the fact of, I want to fix it. Peace can begin to come when we decide to realize you can't. Those things in our lives that we can fix, right? You do your part. But the things that you can't fix, that brother or sister in our life, that parent who just can't get it right, and we carry that anxiety, you can't fix someone else. You've got to allow God to help you with that stress. That's not immediate. That's not going to go away, is it? That thing that's eating your body up, you can't fix that. Give it to God. Realize you can't. and only He can help you. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Notice what He says there. Why does He say thanksgiving? That's the realization that I know God's going to help me. Now, here's the reality. I don't know how He's going to help me. I know He's going to, as James says, all good and perfect things come from the Father of lights who is above. He's going to help me. I may not know how, but I'm already going to be thankful in my heart for that gift of peace and help. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15. Now this is the, notice, confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You know, you may go and tell your stresses to the people in your lives, and sometimes you walk away wondering, did they really listen? Or were they thinking about something else? Were they somewhere else? And at times, to be honest, as human beings, we are somewhere else. And we're not listening as well as we should. But we don't have to worry about that with God. He's listening. He really does hear us. He is really concerned about our concerns. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Do we pray with that kind of confidence, knowing that God hears us and that God will answer our prayers? A few years ago, Garth Brooks put out a song called Unanswered Prayers. It was real popular. And I get the sentiment of the song, but in reality, it's not true. None of our prayers that go before God are unanswered. They may not be answered in the way we ask them, because God knows better. But there are no unanswered prayers. God hears us. He listens. He responds. And He gives us exactly what we need. It may not be what we want all the time, but He gives us what we need. And then, thirdly, God can help alleviate the fear in our lives by providing us with a better reward, by providing us with a hope of an eternal life. Notice again, 1 John 4, 17 and 18. He says, love has been perfected among us. How has it been perfected? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, again, that idea of fear is torment. It's torture to our bones, to our souls. God doesn't want us to be like that. And He's provided us with something better. You know, things going on in your life, I don't know how those things are going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen with maybe a health concern or a financial concern or a job concern. You may not be able to keep that job. It may be a different job, maybe a different source of income that God will provide to you. That health concern may not end in a cure. Sometimes we stand before that door of the end of life, and sometimes we've got to walk through it. But see, as a child of God, I don't fear that, or I hope not to. You know, sometimes I'm afraid. But that is, John says, that's a weakness in me, and that's something I've got to overcome. As a child of God, I need to see the world differently than the world sees things. What we talked about this morning in class. I don't want to see the world. I don't want to see things in my life through the world's glasses. It's the world that seeks after riches and fame and comfort and ease. Sure, I'd like to be comfortable. I'd like to be at ease. But when those things become my all, when those become the things that I am in search of, if those are the things that are the only things in my life that are going to make me happy, supposedly, then I've missed something, haven't I? Isn't there something more meaningful, something deeper that as a child of God I'm in search of? I'm after what's coming next. Or at least I should be, right? I love what John writes in the next chapter, 1 John chapter 5. He says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." Now notice this, that you may know that you have eternal life. There is an assurity there that John is giving to us. For those who fear, am I saved? You may have reason to be afraid this morning, but you don't have to be like that. He says, I've written these things to you that you may know. Do you know if you're saved? Did you know you can know you're saved? You don't have to go into eternity doubting. God's given us the evidence. He's given us the guidelines. He's given us the information we need to know we're saved. Why would you live in doubt of eternity? Why do that? That is so, it makes no sense to me. Why would you live your life that way? That's a fear you don't have to have. God can cast that away for you if we obey. If we just do what He's asked us to do. Becoming a child of God and knowing you have eternity in your hand is not a complicated thing. We make it complicated. The grace of God is there for all of us. If we will but obey. You know, these first century Christians understood what it meant to be persecuted, understood what it meant to live with the threat of fear in their lives. In Psalm 118, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord is on our side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can the world do to me? If I have God, what else do I need? Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 8:31, what shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? What greater gift can be given than Jesus? What greater surety and comfort can be given than Jesus Christ? Paul proclaims in 1 Corinthians 15, that we are the victors. He says in verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be victors. We can overcome the things in our life. We can overcome the fear in our lives in Jesus Christ. Are you a part of the victorious in Christ? Have you experienced the victory that only exists in Him? I don't know this morning, maybe you're afraid of the condition of your soul and where you'll spend your eternity. You don't have to live like that. You can know you're saved. What an awesome thought. What do I have to do? Well, I've got to obey the gospel. This morning, are you ready to repent of your life? That means I've got to change the way I think about living, and I can't live to my flesh any longer, and I've got to begin living righteously. That means if I've got sin in my life, I've got to stop it. I've got to be willing to confess Jesus. You willing to do that this morning? Just as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. Are you willing to be immersed into Christ so that His blood can wash your sins away? Acts 22:16. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And are you ready to live the kind of life that resembles that of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to walk in His image? I can know I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ and how I have altered myself into His image. I've been transformed, and that I continue to live that way. Now, even a child of God can venture away from God and become in danger of his soul. That individual's got to do some repenting in their lives, right? And they've got to come back to God. This morning, do you know you're saved? Do you know you have victory in Jesus? If not, why not come today as we stand and sing?